Today, we're going to be continuing with our monthly first of the month healing prayer series that we've been doing. And so we've gone through extensively on inner healing and physical healing. And if anyone would like, all of those are all on the website. Today, I'm going to be transitioning into talking about the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Holy Spirit. And that's really because right after Passover, we move into the counting of the Omer, which leads to Shavuot. And Shavuot is the time of the harvest, a time when the Torah was given on Mount Sinai. And for the early Messianic Jews, when the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, was given to us in a new way in the temple courts. And so over the next few months, we'll be talking about who the Ruach, the Spirit, is in a Jewish context, in our context. We'll be talking about what immersion or filling of the Ruach is. We'll be talking about manifestations of the Ruach, like speaking in tongues, prophetic words, the Ruach's role in healing and healing gifts. Today, I want to begin sort of in an introductory way by talking about hearing God's voice through the Ruach. So talking about hearing God's voice. So let me ask you just a question. Just raise your hands. No need to look around, but just to get a sense. How many of you feel like you've heard God speak to you in some way in this room? So a number of you, right? And I'm not looking at individuals, but the sense is just to get a sense, like, you know, God really speaks, doesn't he? You know, it's probably like 90%. In our society, however, to go out, you know, at a dinner party or something like that and say that God speaks to you, it seems like you've gotten a little bit kooky. You know, it really does, doesn't it? You know? But I believe that God is speaking to us in so many different ways all the time if we would just learn how to listen. And in his Guide to the Perplexed, rabbinical commentator Maimonides breaks down prophecy into three levels that are helpful for us. The first is God speaking to us from within, words of knowledge, dreams, visions, impressions, that sort of thing. The second is God speaking to us corporately on the level that the biblical prophets operated on. And then the third is God speaking to us panim el panim, face to face, as he did with Moses in the Torah. And today, I want to focus on the first level, because this seems to be the most common way that God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. And this makes sense as followers of Yeshua, because the Ruach, the Spirit, dwells inside of us. And through Messiah, he dwells inside of us, communicating from within. And I think that's why this is probably the most common way that we hear from God in our context. And I really believe that we have the very real ability to hear God speak through the Ruach, not only in extraordinary times, but as daily normal part of our lives. In our Besorah reading passage, Yeshua compares his followers to sheep. And he says, "My sheep listen to me. I know them. I call them each by name. And they follow me because they know my voice." And I think that Yeshua not only talks to us in a voice that we can understand, that we're capable of hearing, but I think that he also expects us to learn to discern his voice from all the other voices coming at us. So take a moment here and just listen to your own voice that you hear inside of your head when you think. We're going to break this down a little bit. Do you hear that voice that you have in your head? It's your own voice. You know it very well. That voice puts words to unspoken concepts or feelings or emotions or ideas or images that you see in your mind, if you're like me anyway. Now, you've seen those pictures of the person with the angel and the demon over the shoulder whispering, you know, to each other. And it's kind of funny. But I think it really is as if there are three voices that we hear inside of our heads. Our own voice, God's voice, and Satan's voice. Now, bear with me. It isn't that we're crazy, you know, hearing all these different voices, audible voices in our head with different tones. That's not what I'm talking about. I think it's more that there are three sources for the thoughts and images that go on inside. And then we use our own inner voice to understand those incoming concepts. Does that make sense? So they all sound the same because our inner voice is translating them to us. And I think this is how God speaks to us most often through the Ruach. And sometimes he'll come and he'll move our emotions ever so gently. He'll nudge our own natural intuition in a certain direction. Sometimes he may give us a thought or an image in our mind's eye, or even more, he may move our own inner voice to speak an actual word or to have a conversation with us inside of our thoughts. And in all the near-death experiences that I've heard people talk about, you know, some are more legit than others, I think, but and all of them across the board, it seems that they seem to experience Yeshua or angels or someone speaking to them without using words. And I found that so interesting. They describe the concept or the word being implanted in their mind, sort of like telepathy in the sci-fi movies. And so I think it's the same here, just maybe with a little less clarity. And so first, we've got to learn how to discern when God is speaking from within ourselves versus our own intuition or imagination or our own desires and our own feelings. This is where it gets tricky. But then it gets more tricky because whenever they get the chance, demonic spirits come out of left field and they also whisper thoughts and concepts and emotions into our minds, which our own inner voice then translates to us. You see? Okay, so this would leave us in a big mess if this is the case. So how do we tell the difference? How can we begin to tell the difference? Generally, these are all like generalizations that I'm talking about here, but generally, Satan's voice seems to be very negative and condemning and discouraging. It often calls for hurried or impulsive behavior. Satan's voice plays off our own temptations, our own insecurities, our own anxieties, our own fears. His voice brings confusion to us. God's voice is the opposite. Positive, affirming, corrective, unrushed. God's voice is calming. It brings clarity. In my experience, it's often very, very simple. God's voice comes along with a sense of knowing, a sense of understanding. We read today that Yeshua says that he knows his sheep by name. And so often during inner healing prayer times, you know, someone will hear God say to them, "I forgive you," or "It wasn't your fault," or speaking from within, "I've always been there with you." And even though the person may have heard that from dozens of other people, you know, they'll start weeping because God's voice carries with it a knowing and an intimacy that only our Creator can give us. It's like a sense that we have when he speaks to us that is beyond something we can judge rationally. Now, everyone's experience in this is different. And you could all probably share with me your experiences and you'd have your own way of describing it. But for me, there's a different quality when God is the one speaking. And it's hard to describe. I feel it kinesthetically, like a wave running through me. Sometimes it, you know, it's like a tingly sense that runs over my body right as a thought comes in. It's like this sense that goes along with it. Other times it's like a flow of energy that comes in through my stomach that I can feel. But it's very subtle. You can almost push it away if you want to. And sometimes it's more of a strong sense of knowing that seems to just go beyond my own sense of intuition and my own natural ability to judge a situation. The key here is to get enough practice that you can more easily tell what's what. So if there's one ingredient, or an ingredient list, I should say, one ingredient list for learning how to God speak to you personally or learning how to hear him better, it's this: time, stillness, solitude, and rest, and intimacy. Okay? Now, I just want to qualify this, that for this message, I'm assuming, don't have enough time to get into all the parts, so I'm assuming that the foundations of spiritual life are already a part of your life. That I'm assuming, you know, Yeshua faith, strong faith community. I'm assuming Torah and Bible reading study. I'm ensuring, you know, assuming that we're engaging Jewish life and prayer and everything I'm saying here sort of builds off of those disciplines rather than replaces them. I want that to be very clear. So if those aren't there, that's the place to start. That really is. Those are like the building blocks. But on top of that, time, stillness and solitude, rest, and intimacy. Now, those are scary words for us. Most of us feel like we don't have the time. We do too much to rest. We can't ever imagine being still for more than 30 seconds, and we're afraid of any real intimacy. And it's been said, we are into microwaving. God, on the other hand, is into marinating. I think that's funny. I think that a mistake that we make sometimes is to expect God to speak to us in the way that we want him to, rather than intentionally discerning how he may already be speaking to us. And so we might say, God's going to have to come and speak to me beyond a reasonable doubt, or I will not listen. How many of you have said that? I've said that before. I have. You know, we ask God to change for us rather than change ourselves for him. And on occasion, he does this for people. He just comes in and zaps someone and knocks you over. But more often, I think he's much more gentle, and he waits to see if we'll desire him enough to take the time to really tune in. See, I think God is talking to us through the Holy Spirit all the time, but it's like we're on the wrong radio broadcast station. And so we need to learn how to very gently turn the knob on the radio and be quiet enough to clear the static and to find the right frequency. And the Holy Spirit is so gentle. And God is looking for people who will take the time to cultivate and treasure a real intimate relationship with him. He's looking for people who will treasure that. He wants to trust you. So if I'm in a room filled with people and Raina comes in and I don't see her, but she says something, I recognize her voice above all the other voices. Why? Because I have an intimate relationship with her. And I've developed that intimacy by spending lots and lots and lots of time with her. And now, you know, with all the kids, we have to be so intentional about finding time every day to enjoy being with each other. You see? With no agenda, just to enjoy being with each other. Because if we aren't intentional about constantly renewing and cultivating new intimacy, then we won't know each other anymore 10 years from now. We'll grow apart and we'll forget how to hear each other. See? But it's the same with God. So the more time you spend with God, the more you renew and cultivate intimacy with him, the easier it becomes to hear his voice. Now, this is something that God's been working on me on for a while, and it's taken me years and years to really understand, kind of go like this in this journey. I used to pride myself on being busy. Have any of you ever done that? I don't know. Probably have. But, you know, I felt like I was, you know, doing good work for God, accomplishing a lot, and it made me feel important to be busy. And so I was always busy. But what would happen was God time would start to slip away in all of that busyness because I was doing more important things, you know. And then gradually, Raina time would slip away, and then family time would slip away, you know, and down this slippery slope, here we are. But I remember one time sitting with Raina at a restaurant, and we knew something had to change because there was too much going on. So we took the placemat and we mapped out everything that was going on, and we said, okay, we need to cut something out. And we couldn't cut anything out because everything was too important. And I did that with 3 other mentors and couldn't cut anything out. But one frightfully busy season, I remember I was on overload and super stressed out. I was preparing for a conference that I was leading with all this tons of material, and the material was all on healing, and I was feeling very unhealed, and, you know, and I had deadlines on top of deadlines and obligations on top. This is how I felt, you know. And then my car got a flat tire. A flat tire! You know, I was out in the afternoon. And then worse, the police officer that stopped me because of my flat tire realized that my license was expired and made me promise in front of Chaim that I would not drive my car, even with a spare. I was already late for this nursing home service that I was leading that afternoon, which I didn't have time to lead anyway. And so I remember frantically asking God, why? You know? Silence. And really, God graciously cleared the whole afternoon for me, which I used it graciously to practice being anxious. So, a day later, I'm a wreck, and I feel like there's this wall between me and God that's been growing and growing and growing and growing, and now it's like 10 feet thick, and I was just done. And I stopped at a river that was near my house, and I just cried out to him, where are you? You know, where did you go? I, you know, used to have this close relationship with you. Where did you go? Silence. Crickets. The river. Nothing. And I spent an hour there. Nothing. And I was discouraged. But then as I was leaving the river, I felt God speak to me, but in this subtle, feather-like way that I could have easily just brushed off. And it was as if he was saying to me, I want you to spend lots of time with me. And then as I listened, he told me exactly how much time he wanted me to spend. And my reaction to that was, that's crazy. Like, I'm just serious. I don't have time for that. You know my schedule. I don't have time for that. I can't do that. Silence. Tentatively, I started to try, but I was afraid to do what he had said. I was afraid to do all of it, you know, so I did like a little bit, you know, and started to change things a little bit. And in the beginning, I found that I would do everything I could to avoid my time that he wanted me to spend with him, everything I could to avoid it, whether it was, you know, use my phone, Facebook, read the Bible, you know, whatever it was, anything to avoid time just with him. And I would sit there tired and feeling very unspiritual. But then after a few weeks, it's very interesting, I found that I was becoming more rested physically and more rested spiritually. And then it was like that wall started to slowly come down. And I think we often miss that rest is an important component to intimacy with God, physical rest. But soon after, like I'm talking like a month later, he was talking to me again. And he was talking to me like I hadn't experienced since my early days with him, you know, on the Appalachian Trail when I had just come to faith. You know, it's just wonderful. And I just wanted to do more and more. And you know, soon sitting in God's, in his presence, you know, like with a cup of coffee or tea or whatever on my orange swing or by the river, whatever, it became the highlight of my day, really. And weeks later, when that wall was starting to come down, I remember sitting there and I asked God again, I said, so, how much time should I spend with you? And he said, in his gentle way that he does, Nathan, I've already told you. And I said, that's crazy. Where am I going to get the time? He said, Nathan, do you trust me with your time? And I said, yeah. He said, do you trust me with your family? I said, yeah. Do you trust me with your children? I said, yeah. And he went down this whole list. I won't burden you with all, but the whole list, it was like 10 pages long of all the things that I was burdened with. And I said, yes, 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 you know. And I just started doing it. And you know what? It's amazing. My life has changed. He has started to help me to accomplish certain tasks that would take significantly more time. You know, he would work things out in 20 minutes on my orange swing that would usually take me a week. And I'm not kidding. I mean, it's like, it just blows my mind. He's given me outlines to sermons. He's given me answers to issues that I've worked out. He'll sometimes let me know whether or not to make a phone call or send a particular email, which can often save a lot of time. He planned a whole conference curriculum for me in 15 minutes once. And not all the time. It's like, every, you know, there's certain things he wants me to know and certain things he wants us to know and certain things he doesn't. But see, I realized that when I sat with Raina trying to carve out that, you know, the map and everything, I was trying to find a way to carve out time in my schedule for God. But he wanted me to start with him on his schedule and then find room for everything else. Like, this took me years to understand. He wanted me to build my life around prayer time and let other things that didn't fit fall away. And he's done just incredible things and still is doing incredible things. And it's still up and down, you know, all these things. But more than all that, what he's doing is he's teaching me how to be intimate with him. And that's the greatest treasure in the world. So, you know that psalm that says, be still and know that I am God? It means something. It really does. And when we say, I don't have time to spend that kind of time in prayer, it's totally backwards. Once we begin to taste what life can be like when we cultivate that intimacy with our Creator, it's like, how did I ever live before? And jumping into a busy day and skipping your prayer time because you're too busy is insanity. Think about it. Skipping your time with the God of the universe who made everything, who has control over everything in your life, who's the source of every bit of your happiness, who actually wants to talk to you. It's insanity to miss that for something else. Our time with him, which was once, you know, perhaps an obligation or obligatory burden to add to the overfilled to-do list, it can become an intimate and nourishing and the most healing times in our lives. And so I want to get practical. Let's do this. Let's really do this as a community. Let's take time. And there are some really, you know, really fun ways to do this. During the healing service afterwards, we're going to practice hearing words of knowledge in some fun ways. So if you're interested in this, come to that. But on your own, a super simple, easy, no burden way to do this and to begin to learn to hear God's voice more clearly is to have your morning coffee or tea time with him. Something simple, right? You're probably already doing it anyway. Start small, 5 minutes or something like that with this, you know, whatever, morning tea, whatever it is that you do. Get cozy, get comfortable, find a good spot that you like to become your prayer place so that your body can become used to it and you can learn how to rest in that space. I love my orange swing outside. You can also integrate times of stillness with praying from the siddur, with other devotions, things like that. You know, those are also essential parts of the puzzle that I'm just not addressing today. But I'll just say for what I'm talking about specifically here, the key to learning to discern God's voice isn't so much doing prayer, which is good, but it isn't so much doing prayer, it's being in stillness. You see the difference? Because we live in such a doing-oriented world. You have to work hard to quiet all those voices and all those worries and all those distractions. And if this is new for you, try it and see how difficult it is. It can be really hard to be in stillness. So start small and allow this time of intimacy to grow into 10 minutes, 15 minutes, an hour, 2 hours. Ask him how much time he wants you to spend with him. It's kind of a crazy concept. Ask him, how much time do you want me to spend with you? And then listen to the answer, even if it seems impossible, because it'll open up incredible doors in your life that things will start to happen that you would never see otherwise. You'd never be able to see him work those miracles if you didn't step out and do it. And so the purpose of this time is not to have an agenda. It's not to accomplish something, or it's not to have an experience. Your time with him is a time to be fully you, like you can't be anywhere else. It's a time to stop seeking approval. It's a time to curl up in his lap and to rest your head on his chest. It's a time to do absolutely nothing but enjoy his presence. Not even hear anything. Just enjoy his presence. And from the world's perspective, it's wasting time. But from God's perspective, it's the reason you were created. So let's rest, find time with him in stillness, and Shabbat Shalom.